views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
The truth is funny. With Colette Stephan, we'll have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success. Many people who shift out of limiting beliefs roar with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The truth is funny. Shift happens. Feel instant relief. Stay tuned for more fun and release struggle and suffering. And now, here's your host, Colette Stephan.
This is Colette Marie Stephan. Welcome to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. Shift happens every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock a.m. live on the radio waves and in the archives at thetruthisfunny.com and transformationtalkradio.com. The energetic shifts are still accessible through what I call HSN, the Higher Self Network, if you're listening later. I've been traveling around the globe to share life-transforming information and meeting some really awesome people, and it is my pleasure to provide you with an opportunity to connect with these people and to receive energetic shifts and creative solutions to your problems. Today, we do love to hear from you. However, on today's show, I have a special guest that I really would like to give the floor to. So we will not be taking calls right away. I just want to give my guest every opportunity to share his empowering information with you. Dr. Michael T. Heisen, PhD, is here with us today to share information about the dolphinization of the planet, the humanitization of space, and the re-enchantment of the Earth. And Michael is the research director of the Sirius Institute in Hawaii. He was raised in Winnebago, Illinois, on a small farm with many pets, and at the age of 14, enjoyed the summer living with dolphins. His fascination with dolphins led him to becoming a neuroscientist with degrees from the University of Miami. Michael considers Dr. Hank Tribe, linguist for John Lilly, the author of Man and Dolphin, to be one of his many fine mentors, and he has focused his studies on consciousness, the brain, understanding other species, and space migration. Michael has worked with dolphins, interspecies communications, robotics, computer vision, binocular vision, space colonies, electrostatic levitation, and is a full-fledged rocket scientist. So for 25 years, Michael has dedicated himself to the integration of the cetacea through the musical communication with the late Star Newland, founder of the Sirius Institute, who has developed language sculpting and underwater birth problems with programs with the dolphins. Michael, it is such a pleasure to have you on The Truth is Funny.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
Good to be here.
Yeah. So, you know, I just wanted to really give you a chance to, maybe focus on the first three topics. Like if we focus first on Delphic tradition, the partnering of humans and dolphins and whales. Do you want to talk about that a bit?
Sure. Well, just to recap a little bit, I realized that a lot of what I'm talking about has to do with changes of consciousness. And especially with the physics I got to do with Elizabeth Rauscher later, we now have models of many things about consciousness that open things up a lot. But as a child, I was interested in animals and pets, and I realized they were very conscious animals. And they were very different from the meat robots that were described in our school.
Yes.
I always knew that they were very awake and aware, and they were my friends and so on. And they were very conscious. So that led to some interesting conflicts in my education. But I always held on to the fact that the dolphins were very conscious. Anyway, at one point I was had some pet bats. So I got very interested in bat sonar and was prowling through the library looking for animal sonar papers and things like that, and found John Lilly's book called Man and Dolphin. And by the end of that, they're teaching the dolphins English. And that just had me hooked. So I talked to my brother, who was offered a job training dolphins in Texas, and showed him Lilly's book, and he took off to Texas, and I helped him for a whole summer. It was marvelous. Got to go swim with the dolphins and be friends with them. So that's what got me very interested, and it's continued as a solid interest ever since. And then just to give a very quick recap, I got to go to Florida and worked with Eugenie Clark, who is a shark lady, and she taught me how to scuba dive, and then went to Alaska for a summer, and then back to the University of Miami for 3 degrees. And the PhD, I did a computer model of the retina, trying to figure out if we could actually build a brain. So I was thinking a lot about consciousness.
I love it.
And then ended up with
you're a busy man at a young age.
Yes. And then let's see. Well, I'd watched the space launches and so on for a long time. So eventually I got to Caltech for a postdoc. And we were studying eye movements during binocular vision. And then following that, I was looking around for what to do, and I'd gotten inspired by the space colony movement, the L5 Society, if you remember that, perhaps. But there were on the order of 10,000 people in the L5 Society that were ready to make a space colony. So I ran a space colony conference and eventually ended up working as research director to the first private rocket company in the United States, GCH Astronautics. And we actually managed to blow up the first private rocket. But in the process, I got introduced to a lot of people in the space business and was very inspired. And I ended up working at Jet Propulsion Labs for about 9 years, studying and helping to develop an electrostatic levitator so we could hold on to drops of water and other things in zero G. And the most fun was that they flew me on what's called the Weightless Wonder 4, also known as the Vomit Comet. You do these big parabolas from about 20,000 feet to 30,000 and back to 20, and you get about 30 seconds of zero G, followed by 30 seconds of 2G to pay for it. And they do about 40 of those a day, and then we would run for about 3 days. So I figure I've got about 10 hours of zero G, 30 seconds at a time.
That's amazing. So that's what you're talking about when, because you also wanted to speak a little bit of the humanization of space.
Oh, yes. Like, yes. I'm just giving a quick overview.
So it makes sense.
And,
this is so cool.
So after I left Jet Propulsion Labs for various reasons, I ended up being research director to another of Gary Hudson's companies called Pacific American Launch Systems. And we were working on what they call single-staged orbit rocket designs. And it looked like we could build one for under $1 billion that would launch for about $10 a pound. And the current going rate of space launch is probably, I don't know, $50,000 to $100,000 a pound at this point. So if you can reduce launch costs, then a lot of things in space make sense. So
absolutely.
And then anyway, the rocket companies eventually kind of fell apart for various reasons, but we got a lot done. And then I decided it was time to get back to the dolphins. So I met a dolphin named Dreamer and had a story.
I was watching that on YouTube that you'd met this that was quite some time ago, was it not?
Yes. Yeah. Well, back when I was 38. But in the process of that, it inspired me to track down John Lilly, who I'd met a couple times, and went to his 75th birthday party January 6, 1990. And that's where I met Star Newland and her son. And she already had the Sirius Connection 418, which stands for 418 is the complete awakening of all mankind. And part of that was the Sirius Institute, which is the research arm. So we made the research arm real. We brought it to Hawaii, and we've been here for about 25 years and had amazing adventures. And sadly, Star passed away in 2013. So I'm continuing the work.
Awesome. We have to take a quick break, but sure. You're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio with Colette Marie Steffen and my guest today, Michael Heisen. When we return, we will talk some more with Michael about dolphins and space and all sorts of interesting things. We'll be right back to make some shift happen.
For a juvenile, but then if you're so smart, tell me why are you still.
Tune in each Wednesday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time, 4 Eastern Time on Transformation Talk Radio to Limelight Radio with Katina Macris. This is an inspirational, cutting-edge radio show educating worldwide listeners on a diversity of Lyme disease-related topics. Each week, Katina will interview some of the world's leaders in health, wellness, spirituality, and human potential. For more information, visit LimelightRadio.com.
Tired of traditional talk? People pontificating about this or that, the left or the right. Sometimes the truth is just all lost in the noise. Tune in each week to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 p.m. Eastern, as nationally known guests talk about what's important to you, your life, your concerns, and your success. Tune in and turn on to Straight Talk with Chuck Gallagher. Visit ChuckGallagher.com for more information. Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
My dream is to end homelessness.
My passion is living a green life.
My dream is to end poverty.
My passion is volunteering.
My passion is making a difference.
My dream is to cure Lyme disease.
My passion is rebuilding communities.
My passion is helping those in need.
My passion is caring for the elderly.
My dream is to find a cure for cancer.
My dream is to leave a better world for my children.
We all have that special passion, that lifelong dream that drives us to live our lives with meaning and to create a better world. No matter what drives you, we can all make an impact. Dr. Pat Basile is helping others make their dreams come true so we can all help make our world a better world.
To learn more about how Dr. Pat is building a community of sharing hope, strength, funds, knowledge, and information, visit abetterworldcrowdfunding.com today. That's abetterworldcrowdfunding.com.
Each month, listen to Live More Radio with co-host Allie Katz. Join Allie and Dr. Pat as Allie introduces new ways to bring balance back to your life through meditation, sleep, and exercise techniques so you can live your truly authentic life. Stress less, live more. To learn more about Allie, visit ATOZENmeditation.com.
Chris Stainis is a spiritual leader and healer and teaches a course on how you can transform your life through a meditation and healing system that will manifest your spirit's dreams. She manifested the Women of Wisdom Conference, the Women of Wisdom book, and this radio show. And she can show you how to change your life too. Are you ready? Visit the website and contact her at voicesofwomentoday.com. That's voicesofwomentoday.com.
We are back on The Truth is Funny with Colette Marie Steffen and my guest today, Michael Heisen. Before we continue, Michael, can you please share your contact information with everyone?
Oh, sure. We have our major website is www.planetpuna, P as in Paul, U-N-A. Puna is the southeast corner of the Big Island of Hawaii. So it's planetpuna.com. And let's see, you can write either planetpuna at yahoo.com or SiriusInstitute at yahoo.com. And you can peruse our website. There's a number of things there.
Yeah, I noticed that you're offering quite a few gifts for the listeners that they can. Do you want to just tell them how they can access those?
Well, yes. Let's see. A couple main ones are Star's article on language sculpting, which we can discuss a bit, and then her paper on assessing the effects of pre-birth dolphin contact on birth outcome. And that's right at the top of the website. So those two can be downloaded quickly. And then there's another one, our CD of some whale sounds and things like that. That's if you do planetpuna.com/capital whales ampersand dolphins sing, whales and dolphins sing, you should be able to get to a place where you can download our soundtracks.
Awesome. Thank you so much for that. Right. And, you know, just before the break, you and I were talking about the Sirius Institute, and I was just wondering if you would share with us what the Institute represents and, you know, what does that have to do with the star?
Right. Well, let's see. The Sirius Institute got named because there's many legends having to do with Sirius and the dolphins being linked. And one of the major investigations was done by Robert Temple, who came up with a book called The Sirius Mystery, which I recommend. We got to have dinner with him in England some years ago. He's a very brilliant man. And I consider it the best evidence for ancient ET contact with the human race. And it turns out the Sirius tradition goes through the Egyptians, the Greeks, the Indians, the Hopi, the Navajo, China, and several other major civilizations. And they all say that their civilizations were founded by knowledge they gained from talking to amphibious beings from Sirius. So that's how the Institute got named. As far as its purpose, it's kind of a consortium, a think tank, and we think about a lot of different things, but mainly how to best live on the planet and how can we progress things. Sometimes we call it the Advanced Planning Committee for the Human Race.
Well, you're bringing all these babies into the into being with dolphins. Like, I'd love to talk about that.
Okay. Well, basically, this got started because, let's see, Igor Tcharkovsky and Michel Odant were inventing underwater birth in France and Russia some 40 years ago. And there was a book called Water Babies, and Star and I were very interested in that. And somehow the combination of babies and dolphins just made great sense. From the context that they're very gentle and they're able to heal things with their sonar and electric fields, that's pretty well established anecdotally. Of course, there needs to be a lot more medical research done to really, you know, flesh that out. But as one of my friends says, the plural of anecdote is data.
Yes.
And there's literally hundreds of stories about people having things happen along the lines of healing, autism, cerebral palsy, angina, possibly a tumor that was gotten rid of by Dreamer. I can talk about how Dreamer fixed my neck at one point.
Yeah, so, just tell us about that. Like, you know, because this was early on, right? That you had
pretty,
an encounter
early,
with
pretty
this.
Early on. As I say, I lived with him for a summer in Texas, and then later at the University of Miami under Dr. Hank Truby, we started the World Dolphin Foundation and had what we called the Dolphin Project, and we were planning to have two dolphins: Florida the female and Liberty the male. And the idea was we were going to release them and see if they would bring their friends back, that kind of thing. Various plans didn't work out too well, but effectively we did have the dolphins for about 2 years, and about 2,000 people came to visit. And they brought their babies, they went swimming with them, they played ball, all kinds of things. And the dolphins were just wonderful. We had a great time, and I got to be good friends with Florida and Liberty.
Go ahead.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, like, what are the benefits of babies being with dolphins? in this way.
Well, we've shown that the ultrasounds and the electric fields of the dolphins are in the right range to actually change DNA expression. We've yet to prove that, but we think that's part of what's going on. In addition, as I say, the children with autism and cerebral palsy and a number of things have been improved by dolphin contact, so we think it has something to do with the sonar. So, since the sonar works even if the baby is in the womb, we feel that putting the pregnant ladies and the dolphins together should have some benefit. So
cool.
That's why we were inspired to do that. And there were some underwater births with dolphins in the Black Sea under a project run by Elena Tonetti. And they probably got about 100 children out of that project. And so I asked, how were they different? And Elena said, well, they're so different, they feel like aliens, but whatever they've got, I want. And so I said, is there any other definable thing that you found out? And she said, yes, all the babies that were born in the presence of the dolphins were ambidextrous.
Okay.
Ordinarily, handedness is considered genetic, and you'd get about 80% right-handers. So to have a string of about 100 babies that were all ambidextrous is really astounding. It suggests that handedness may actually be something to do with birth trauma.
Wow, that's amazing. To even think about that, you know, and right. I know that you were saying that you had this experience with this dolphin named Dreamer. What was that like for you? Because you said you felt like you were shifted energetically
very much. I met Dreamer in 1989-90, and then I met Star, and we went back and happened to swim with Dreamer again. And I had compressed 6 and 7 cervical vertebrae in my neck when I was 13, dove into a swimming pool that had a wall between the shallow and deep end for reasons beyond understanding, and nobody told me about it. I dove in and hit the wall. So I have a groove in my head, and 6 and 7 cervical are compressed and fused. And my neck was pretty good, but every once in a while it would lock up and hurt and things like that. So I'm swimming with Dreamer, and she's about 3.5 feet away, and all of a sudden I feel and hear about 20 or 30 sonar pulses going right through my head and neck. At the time, I just thought she was looking at a fish a couple miles away or something. It was so loud, and didn't really think it had anything to do with me at that instant. But then we left, and I was driving back home. We were staying in Key West, so I'm driving back from Key Largo to Key West, and all of a sudden my back got hot in about 5 new places because the circulation had just changed. And then I felt and heard about at least 3 vertebrae go click, click, click into new positions. And I'm going, wow, what's going on? So I wiggle my neck, and this grindy sound that had been there ever since I was 13, I'm about 38 at that point, the grindy sound was gone. It was felt like somebody had just oiled my neck.
Cool. oiled by dolphins.
Yeah. She probably blew off a bone spur or something. But my neck has been much more mobile and happy since then. And so that is my personal experience with a dolphin healing kind of thing. And so I know all this can happen. And plus, Hank Truby, my major mentor in all this, was the first one to take autistic kids to see the dolphins about 1973. That started the whole dolphin-assisted therapy motion that's been going on.
Yeah, and you know, I've read about that, like about the benefits of that. And, you know, people are maybe sometimes more aware of, like, young children working with horses. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in that way, or with, you know, like therapy dogs, whatever. But the dolphins, like, it's just so interesting that it seems like they are able to heal on so many different levels.
Yes, they are. There are people that are like hemiplegic that get better. I've been working with a fellow named Jack Kazowitz at speakdolphin.com. He has a friend named Manuel who was quadriplegic for a while, but he's been swimming with the dolphins a lot, and he's now has control of his arms and upper body.
Wow.
So he's improved greatly. So there's many stories I could go into like that. Oh, so given that as a background, plus the fact that work by Stanislav Grof and a lot of other people show that someone's birth is one of the major imprints of their whole life. So if you come in, if you're birthed into a loving environment, that's great. Everything works fine. If you're born into a traumatic kind of situation, you still accept that as love. So you try and recreate that in the rest of your life. So if your birth was traumatic and chaotic, then you tend to make that happen in your life.
That is so interesting. We have to take a break again here, but when we come back, I'm going to get you to talk some more about that. All right. I'm Colette Marie Steffen, and you're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. You can connect with me at thetruthisfunny.com and also on all social media and Facebook and Twitter at The Truth is Funny with Colette. We'll be right back to make some more shift happen.
This is Lynn Brown from the show Winning at the Game of Life. Listen, it's time to enrich your money stories and open your path to all that you desire. We all have limiting beliefs which we accumulate from our life experiences, ancestors, and past lives. These beliefs block our ability to receive the unlimited flow of abundance that the universe is constantly offering to us. Why are we so emotionally caught up on the word money? It's only one of the many forms of abundance. I'm excited to uncover your unique stories and limiting beliefs around money and abundance, as well as give you tools to release them from your space. It's time to invest in yourself. You deserve everything you ever imagined and more. Call me to schedule a reading at 844-B-INTUIT or RUINTUIT.com.
Lynn was very accurate, and she was so clear in explaining everything to me. I highly recommend Lynn to all of you.
How would you like increased health and vitality? How would you like to avoid the onset of disease as well as slow the aging process? This is all possible through a simple, safe, and natural process. Every day, we are either moving toward wellness or away from wellness.
Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. I'd like to be your partner in achieving optimal health. Contact me now at MaryJaneMack.com or call 425-392-0659. Visit MaryJaneMack.com.
The miracles of holistic health and wellness with Dr. Ronnie. She will change your thinking about your health, your body, and your mind. One of the most dynamic holistic experts in the country, Dr. Ronnie, best-selling author, naturopathic doctor, independent scientific researcher, registered nurse, and founder of Martha's Vineyard Holistic Retreat. Each week, this media sensation will help you obtain optimal health through her no-nonsense advice and world-renowned guests. This show features holistic solutions and remedies to the health concerns that are on your mind and in your body. Whether Dr. Ronnie talks about how to make healthy meals, detoxing your body, she will discuss the latest advancements in longevity or life extension therapies. She will discuss treatments you won't believe we still use in this country to treatments that we should use and don't. Are you open? Are you ready? Let's say yes to Dr. Ronnie. The end game is helping you make the whole body healthier. Say yes to the miracles of holistic health and wellness with Dr. Ronnie.
I'm Colette Marie Steffen, and you are listening to The Truth is Funny. I have Dr. Michael T. Heisen here with me today, and we are talking about dolphins. And just before the break, we were talking about the birthing process and how important that is for people. And just wanted you to expand on that a little bit more and maybe talk a little bit about how people can get in touch with you regarding the dolphins and birthing.
Yes. Well, this partly got started because we realized that the dolphins can heal many different things. In addition to that, Star had extensive discussions with John and Tony Lilly, and they came up with the basic concept that if we could ideally birth and raise dolphin and human babies together, then the children would figure out the language issue, however they did it. And so that might we expect that to be one of the best ways to break the communication barrier, such as it is.
Can you just, because you were talking about with Star about her working on language sculpting. Do you want to just explain what that is?
Language sculpting came out of her work with the dolphins, knowing that if we were going to communicate with them, we had to get our own language clear. And we have what she called a common use of language in which a lot of negatives are used, for example. There's several levels to it, but just to give the basic. If you say something like, I don't want my car to break, you've just given your brain the image of the car breaking.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime you say not X, you're thinking of X.
Mm-hmm.
So it's
always.
So a sculpt on that, just to give the basic process, would be to say, well, what you really want is you want your car to run well.
Mm-hmm.
And so we would flag knots by replacing them with zero, like I zero on my car to break. That's at least better than
yes.
Car not breaking. But that becomes like a placeholder for where you can say, you can figure out how to say it better. So Star defined it as language sculpting was the creation of coherent realities through the conscious use of language.
I love that. And that is what we talk a lot. My colleague and I, Mark Kettenbach from Germany, we do energetic upgrade seminars. We mm-hmm. talk a lot about that, about people, the languaging, the words, every word has energy. And when you use those words and you use words that from a lot of people focus more on what they don't want than what they do want.
Exactly.
Yeah. Without even realizing that that's what they're doing.
That's
and
right.
And so when you become more aware of that, so with the dolphins, like when, if someone was interested, because I know you said that since Star passed, the program is still running. Do you want to just talk a little bit about that for people listening in?
Sure. You're welcome to contact us either at SiriusInstitute@yahoo.com or PlanetPuna@yahoo.com. And we have some information. We can ship Star's paper on the assessing the effects of pre-birth dolphin contact is up on the website. You can look at that. Since we mentioned language sculpting, there's also a booklet by her called A Primer on Language Sculpting that you can also download. It's about a compressed 10-page document. Took her about 30 years to write it.
Wow, I'm getting it. It's just a powerful document.
Right.
And then, I haven't read it myself yet, but I will be.
Well, after meeting the dolphins, she became very interested in the birth process and wanted more than anything to give birth with the dolphins. And so that was one of her great things. Her first son, however, came out as a C-section. He was fine and everything. And from that, she realized that this whole dolphin birth thing is actually more about a state of consciousness. So she wrote a paper called How to Create a Dolphin Conscious Child. It was basically, if you have the expansive dolphin consciousness in your body, if you embody that, then the birth will be fine anyway. But it's still a goal to have a birth in the water with the dolphins.
What happens with that?
Well, according to Elena Tonetti, there's hardly anything obvious going on. In the cases in the Black Sea, the dolphins just would hang out about 20 feet away, and they never did anything particularly obvious. But mm-hmm. yet the children came out ambidextrous.
I love
here,
it.
Here in Hawaii, there are some lineages, we're told, by some of our informants, Papa K among them, that have birthed babies in the water with the dolphins for generations. They're pretty quiet about it, but it is a Hawaiian thing. And those that are especially connected with the water are done that way. So that's part of where we got going here, because it looks like it had been done. So far, though, we've gotten up to about 30 babies now, and they've all come at night when the dolphins are out hunting. So logistically, we've yet to be able to even have the opportunity of birth in the water. But again, since it has to do with conscious state and the fact that the dolphins can do things with their sonar and electrics, even with a pregnant lady, perhaps the actual birth with the dolphins is not that important, perhaps. But,
well, it makes sense when you think about it, because, I wrote a book about this, actually, about how the number one worry or concern for children, the number one weakness for children is a mother's worry. And if a mother is like calm and in a calm state in that birthing process, and the dolphins are facilitating that, I mean, that's just beautiful and amazing, isn't it? It's just like so perfect.
And any form of gentle birth, water birth, whatever, that improves the birth process is good. Because, as I say, if you're imprinted on a traumatic situation, you will still class it as love and try and recreate it in your life. So basically, if you have a good birth imprint, you're likely to have a much better life, and therefore, you know, crime rates, suicide rates, trauma rates, all those things will go down. So it's very important to have a gentle birth, and we just think the birth with the dolphins is probably the most optimal. But of course, people have the right to choose however they want to give birth. But just to be aware, the more gentle it is, and the more clear the mom can be about all this, the better. Because the better the birth imprint, the better the life outcome. There was a California report that said the main factor in the rise of crime, suicide, trauma, drug use, all kinds of things like that, they concluded was arising from violence done to mothers and babies at the time of birth.
Wow.
So, so as I say, the birth project with the dolphins is to improve that. And yes, people can contact us, and we're still running the project.
Yeah, because you were saying that now that you are still running the project, and that you can get in contact with you, and if people are interested, how should they do that? Just so
just email's probably the easiest.
Okay.
If you really want to call me, I've got 808-896-8518.
Okay, awesome. So is it like if a mother decided that she wanted to birth her baby with dolphins, that would be a process, right? So
But as I say, what we've achieved so far is what we call pre-birth dolphin contact, which essentially is having the pregnant ladies swim with the dolphins off usually the Kona side, either from the shore or from boats.
Okay, and I just wanted to ask you too about this, because do you want to just talk a little bit here about dolphins in captivity and wild dolphins?
Oh, sure. Well, first of all, they're all gentle. They've all been loving to us. John Lilly said the most important thing he learned about the dolphins was that they were ethical beings. They put humans in a special category and went out of their way to keep us safe. And so
aren't we blessed?
Yeah, they're very loving, and in spite of everything we do. As far as the captivity issue, we like to call it dolphins in human care. We are their stewards. We're doing their best. You know, those most of those facilities, of course, there's some that are worse than others, but there's some that are just excellent, like Jack Kasowitz's operation. He's at speakdolphin.com, and he's just written a book called Deciphering the Dolphin Code, where he talks a lot about these things. And it turns out, while everybody, it's great that people have their hearts in the right place about wanting the dolphins to be well, and we all have that. But it's good to remember that in addition to the 3,600 dolphins or so we have in human care, every year something like 600,000 plus dolphins are killed in tuna fishing, in bycatch, by pollution, by seismic exploration, by all kinds of things. And plus, there's the BP oil spill in the Gulf. There's health problems in at least half the dolphins on the East Coast. So just because you're free, zero means you're going to necessarily have a great life. So when you're considering that we only have 3,600 and we're losing 600,000 plus, maybe more like a million a year, we really need to fix that part. We need to restore the fisheries, give them more to eat, clean up our act, get the junk out of the ocean, that sort of thing.
Yeah, so, you know, I thank you for pointing that out, because, there's a lot of talk about that. And, you know, with the dolphins and the consciousness of human beings, you know, it seems like we have a special relationship with the dolphins.
Yes, we do.
Yeah.
Well, very quickly, we've there's a lot of literature now showing that humans are aquatic animals. One of the things you can say is it's as obvious as the nose on your face, because your nose is a diving adaptation. It traps air and keeps water out of the back of your throat. In a chimpanzee, mm-hmm. they just have simple holes there, and the water goes right in the back of their throat. We're the only primate, really, that, well, there's one or two other primates that swim a bit, but we're the most aquatic of all the primates. And so part of the other thing about the birth process, especially the water birth, was it reawakens our aquatic nature. It turns out, you know, we've lost our hair, we have the nose, we've got saltwater tears, we have all kinds of marine characteristics. And so we are aquatic mammals, and we've pretty much forgotten that. So ideally, if you had a water birth and then left the child with a lot of water experience for their first 3 months before they start to crawl, they can be in the water all the time. So instead of being slabbed out in a 1G field staring at the ceiling, they can be swimming and twirling
cool.
around, doing all that. And at least in our scenario, playing with the dolphins a lot.
So, oh, that sounds like a real cool upbringing.
So we've basically forgotten that we're aquatic.
And yeah.
The next thing is we happen to need things like eicosanoic acid, that's a 20 carbon fat.
I just got to get you to hold this thought, because we do need to take another break. But when we come back, we'll finish talking about this. This is Colette Marie Steffen, and you're listening to The Truth is Funny on Transformation Talk Radio. We'll be right back after this short break.
Broken from your relationships? Are you second-guessing yourself about friends, family, and lovers? Tune into the hit show that's creating a buzz in the love-seeking community. Love Seeker Radio, finding love for your authentic self with renowned love coach Heather Lynn. Tired of dissatisfying relationships? Kiss them goodbye and power up your love seeker energy. Coach Heather Lynn reminds you that you can just be you, the beautiful and perfect you. Visit heatherlynncoaching.com to learn.
Tune in to The Truth is Funny with Colette Steffen each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Would you like to be a question with anything that comes up in your body or mind? Would you like to become totally aware and begin to function as the conscious being you truly are? Join Access Certified Facilitator Glenna Rice every month for a live teleclass where you can ask all of your questions and learn to create change in any aspect of your life. Visit GlennaRice.com today to learn more, and don't miss the next call. Join the questionable conversation today at GlennaRice.com.
Sky Siegel co-hosts one of today's most popular psychic shows, Angels and Answers, with Artie Hoffman, as she communicates healing messages from the spirit world. These messages can be astounding, enlightening, and life-changing. Born with the God-given talent of inner guidance and the amazing ability to heal, Sky has healed thousands of people. Schedule a reading with Sky now. Call 908-500-1474 and visit skyofangels.com.
Got attitude? Keys to the rescue. Adjust your attitude with Keys Clear Protein Waters. So refreshing. Just a few sips of Keys will give you a whole new outlook, thanks to 22 grams of the happiest protein on earth. Tingling tasty without the guilt of naughty or nasty ingredients. If that doesn't put a smile on your face, maybe you need to drink too. Put a little in your attitude with Keys Protein Water on Amazon or at Keys, K-E-E-S, please.com.
Hi, Hi, this is Colette Marie Steffen, and you're listening to The Truth is Funny. I have Dr. Michael Heisen with me here. He is the research director of the Sirius Institute in Hawaii. Just before the break, I can't believe we're running out of time already, Michael.
Right.
But
yeah.
Just before the break, you were explaining how important it is that people recognize that
That we're aquatic.
Yeah, that we're aquatic. Yeah.
Right, right. That's what we've found. And as one quick example of many, we need eicosanoic acid, which is a 20-carbon fat that only occurs in fish and seafood. And we require that for proper brain development. In addition to that, we have spindle cells that the cetacea have in our brains that are connected to creativity and perfect pitch. We're very good divers. I mean, the best free divers are now going at least 300 feet, that sort of thing. So we're quite aquatic. So that leads to the understanding that we've had a partnership with the dolphins for a long time, like the ancient Greeks did. And also a friend of mine, Rose Farrington, lived with some Aboriginal folks that had the dolphins completely integrated into their societies. They were just friends, and they hung out together and fished together and were friends. So that's been going on for probably at least 50,000, maybe 150,000 years in Australia. So it's mostly the Western guys, that Western civilization, that forgot all this.
Okay.
But just
not us again.
Yeah. But to explain that this solves this dolphin and human care issue, because we're really partners, and we have, at least in my view, we've been partnered for thousands of years, and we should get that back. And I would support, we have a concept, for example, called the Cetacean Commonwealth, the idea of having a new nation where the whales and the dolphins and the humans that support them can join a nation and stump for their rights and proper treatment, cleaning of the oceans and things like that. So I think it's really important. Many of the things we do, we call them an outreach project of the Cetacean Commonwealth. Okay. So anyway, in the process of all this, by improving the birth and realizing again that we're aquatic and honoring that, I think we'll get communication with the dolphins. We'll have better babies, improving the planet one baby at a time. And we may actually find out that humans are different, because almost everybody here has missed their aquatic experience. So by properly birthing and raising babies around dolphins especially, I think we'll finally find out what human beings really are. So I think it's very important.
It's an amazing step in evolution, really, when you think about it. Like your work is very, very fascinating.
Right. I really want to honor Star for getting me into all this, too. She was obviously more knowledgeable about birth than I am. I mean, she's a mother, of course. Anyway,
yeah.
But very quickly, she gave birth on Kahana Beach out here to her second son. We were ready to deliver him in the water, but he decided to come out 1 foot first, so we delivered him on the beach. There were 300 dolphins waiting and singing so loudly that you could feel the ultrasound about a foot above the water. One of their own babies was born about 15 minutes before Stargate birth, and it was quite a magic day.
Wow.
This guy brought some parrot fish and laid them out on the sand and said, "What a day, you can have the fish." So about 3 years later, I find out that these parrot fish were traditional offerings at Royal Hawaiian birth.
So, wow.
So there's a shamanic level to all this that we barely scratched the surface of.
Yeah, but you can feel that, like that energy. There's just so much information around this topic that, you know, we obviously don't have time to get into fully, but I just I have to know before I get you off the radio show here what you mean by the re-enchantment of the earth.
Okay. Okay. Well, as I say, a lot of this has to do with consciousness, and I've been thinking about consciousness. I tried to build a retina and was trying to build a brain and that sort of thing. So especially having met Dr. Elizabeth Rauscher, she's a major physicist, has done everything from particle physics to understanding consciousness and remote viewing. So there is a shamanic level to us. What Elizabeth would say is that it requires at least an eight-dimensional description to explain what happens with things like telepathy and remote viewing. And there's literally hundreds of studies showing telepathy works. Elizabeth worked with Uri Geller and the Stanford Research Institute on remote viewing, and there's millions of trials now. And the probability that remote viewing, that, for example, doesn't work is about 1 over 10 to the 20th. Which means it's probably better established than the speed of light, okay? But along with that, she's also shown that you can do metal bending, you can do psychokinesis and change decay rates, you can affect the double slit experiment. The remote viewing works as well in terms of past, present, and future. It all works about the same. So it means that we're probably eight-dimensional beings that are existing beyond our conventional time and space. And you can show that the brain responds to a future event up to 14 seconds before it happens, that sort of thing. So
I just love it.
part of us obviously exists in a higher dimension. And that means, among other things, that any mechanistic description of the universe has got to be wrong. And so one of the reasons I call it the re-enchantment is when you accept things like telepathy, the shamanic work, and all these things, then you get to a place which is used to be called magic. So we've been told all these mechanistic stories about how the universe actually supposedly works, but in fact, there is no mechanism. The non-locality, gravity, all those things spread throughout the whole universe. They connect everything. So to bring Star's point back, if you're going to language sculpt, every word and every thought and everything you say is connected to the entire universe and affects it.
And, wow, this is just amazing talking with you, Michael. I'm so much thank you right. so much for being on the show mm-hmm. and sharing this wonderful information with us. And, we'd love to have you back sometime to talk some more about all this.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Awesome. This is Colette Marie Steffen, and it's been such a pleasure to share this information. I just wanted to also let you know there was a person that had called in or emailed me regarding a young child with cancer, and I just mm-hmm. wanted you to know that if you're listening now that I was working on it energetically. Feel free to email me. Next week we'll have a guest on again where we do energetic shifting, and Michael, I just wanted to thank you for all your amazing good work.
And, you're very welcome.
Yeah, sharing all this information with us. Mm-hmm. And, do you have any last words that you want to...
I guess just basically, I'd like to see the full partnership of the cetacea, the dolphins and the whales, have them reintegrated into our societies as full partners and so on. And I think that will greatly improve our outcome on this Earth. And then my personal dream is to eventually have a dolphin crewed spaceship, and we can go to Sirius. So we can go to Sirius together.
Well, you let me know when you get that running.
Yeah. Right, but I think we'll continue to learn from the dolphins. Oh, I should mention this also. Go to speakdolphin.com. There's some wonderful work by Jack Kasowitz that I've been involved in. We're finding that, for example, when a dolphin echolocates on a cube shape. Mm-hmm. And you put it into what's called a chymoglyph, which is basically a puddle of water that's being vibrated by a sound. You feed the dolphin sounds of echolocating the cube, for example, into the cymoscope. And what forms in the puddle of water is a shape of the cube. A three-dimensional shape appears in the water. We're still trying to figure out how in the heck that can happen. But we think, that basically is a... the basis of kind of a quasi-holographic imaging system, or what we call sort of sono imaging, that the dolphins obviously are using as part of the base of their communication. So that's very exciting stuff there.
Yeah.
And as I say, just to plug Jack's book called Deciphering the Dolphin's Code, he has that out, and it's on Amazon and so on.
Okay, so awesome. Thank you.
Work is progressing.
Yeah, and thank you so much, Michael, for being on the show. As I said, we'll have you back sometime and talk some more about this. It's absolutely fascinating. And for anyone listening in now, we'll be back next Wednesday, 8 o'clock a.m. Pacific time. Looking forward to reconnecting with all of you. Bye all right. for now.
You've been listening to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan. Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network as she provides energetic shifts and consistent results in every area of life, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. The Truth Is Funny. Visit thetruthisfunny.com for more information. That's thetruthisfunny.com.